Grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Here am I, send me, send me. When the storm broke over the Mediterranean Sea, and the sailors wondered what's the cause of this storm, very superstitious as they were, it may have been Friday the 13th, someone here has done wrong. So searching through, they found Jonah asleep in the boat. They said to him, what's your occupation? What's your job? And he said, I am a servant of the Lord, who made the sea and the heaven and all that is. And with that, the only thing that they could think of is, we've got to make a sacrifice and add it up. That's what they thought of this prophet of God. Now let's take the Torah. They had a lot of opinions of prophets and of the teachers. They had an argument who was the better one of the three teachers they had, just as at St. Mark's in Elmhurst, Illinois. Who's the best one? Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? Or is it Peter? That Paul the third one had to figure out really what it was all about. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. So there's two pictures that Paul puts before the congregation, before us. Who are these that are in public ministry? They are servants and they are stewards. There's a position and there's a performance that is expected of that position. The position is of being a servant. Now those of you who have studied Greek a bit and go through the Greek vocabulary know that this is not the ordinary word for servant, not the one that's used for waiting at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, or being the foot washer on Monday Thursday. This is a military term. It means the underlord. It means the man who takes orders, and he's always under orders from his master. He's the servant in that particular, that's his position. He's the honor bearer. Luke writes in the gospel, and of course Luke used a lot of medical terms, and when he wants to describe the assistant, this would perhaps have served in an operation, not through the operation itself, but through the bandaging and maybe the sewing up. He uses this term of servant. That's the way he describes Mark. He's a servant of Barnabas and Saul when the argument broke up. Who is this servant of ours? And this is the attitude that we have as the servants of the Lord. We are under orders. We are not the physician. We watch him for the rest of it. He does the healing, we do the bandaging. We are not the one who's really out there doing the fighting and winning the victory over Satan. He is the one who does it. We just carry his instruments around. We are always under his orders. We are not the lords and the masters. We are not the ones who run things. He is the head of the church. We are his servants, the servants of Christ. We are second in command. We're always able to never hurt. We're always number two, never number one. And this is the position that we must maintain if we are the servants of the Lord. And Paul says you must look on us in that particular fashion. We are the servants of Christ. And being such servants of Christ, we are humble and obedient to his orders. And this is the way humility is in the ministry. They said that Moses was the most humble man on earth, and he wrote that himself in the Decalogue. And people got a little excited about that, saying that's a rather peculiar thing that he should brag about himself that way, being the most humble man on earth. And so many have gone through the JPG series, so that proves that Moses could not have written it. We had a pastoral conference in Commercial, Wisconsin. We were snowing. We had to stay in the motel. And so some of us decided we were going to study for the next Sunday sermon, which talked about humility. And Dave Cooperberg said, well, this is a racetrack from the Dave Irving is racetrack. He said, and when a man is humble, in the Greek word, he and the horse are in riding with each other, and they do not fight each other. They work together. And so when Moses was working together, hearing God's word, and God was using him with all his abilities and talents, that is what humility is, second in command to the Lord. Now, that's our position, second in command. But our performance and our function must be that we are stewards of the mystery of God. A steward is a homemaker. He's the one who arranges things at home. He arranges things in the house. He knows how to dish up what the kid gets on his plate, how he cuts up his meat because he eats that. And how he has a certain portion for his wife and for the other children. He's the one who arranges things in the house. He's the steward of the mysteries of God. This is the great work of the steward. Now, when you go to the bookstore, or go on to the airport, as I've often had to do, and look over the bookshelf, you find there's two books that are very popular and that are purchased quite frequently and read all over the place. Love stories and mystery stories. All over the place. Well, now we're stewards of a love story, and we're stewards of a mystery story. The only thing is it's one story, not two. It's the story of how God, in His grace and love, could consider us poor humans and come down here in the flesh and be consumed by death and all sin, bearing our iniquities, actually consuming Him as the high priest would eat the sacrifice, just consumed by it all, in order to give us the freedom and the victory and the release from all our sins and all our difficulties. This is the stewardship that we have. We have to be caretakers of it. The lesson for today from Hebrews is very important. We have in San Diego the largest jail in the free world, if you can use a term like that, under one roof. And the chaplain there is a member of our district. His name is Leland Stetcher. And one day he took me in there to show me what had happened. There was an inmate who was called Holy Joe. He always walked around with a Bible. Holy Joe. So one day the guards for the fun of it took the book away from him. And they found that Joe had carved out all the inside pages of the book and had in there forks and knives and spoons that he took from the refectory because he was going to sell them to his inmates. And so next day at chapel, poor Setchef had to say, what is he going to preach on? Unfortunately, he thought of the text which you heard in today's lesson. The word of God is more powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces in the very marrow of the bone. And he says, and that's what the word of God is. It is like the knives that you hide in the word and come out from the word that pierces to the very marrow of the bone. And so it is that we are stewards of this great mystery, of that law which pierces our marrow and our bones and tells us of the justice and the judgment and the wrath of God. But then also tells us of the great mystery which was revealed to us in Jesus Christ at Calvary, how God so loved the world and gave His life for us. What a joy it is to be second in command in that position and to go out into the world as stewards in that particular way. Paul said it right when he writes in Colossians, I became the servant of the gospel by virtue of the task assigned to me by God for your benefit, to deliver His message in full, to announce this mystery hidden for long ages and through many generations, now disclosed to God's people, to whom it was His will to make it known how rich and glorious it is among all nations. The mystery and the secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory to come. Him it is whom we proclaim. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the peace of the Lord always be with you. Amen.